Welcome to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani. We're waving to you already on the chats that are going strong with Adam Bly, religious demonologist and co-host, and this is your May Open Forum show, where we are opening up the phone lines very quickly at the beginning of the show, so you can talk about angels, demons, anything in between, and our first American Pope. Yes, you can talk about him as well. This is the first reactions to having our new Holy Father, and very exciting. But Adam, we jump right into the open forum of the spirit world. We give all of our attention and time to our listeners and our callers and those that are on social media. But we always begin in prayer with the Saint Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we've got the show team in place. We've got senior producer Tim Mott from Guadalupe Radio Network. He's at the controls doing a fine job. We've got our call screeners, Carol and Anna, ready to go to take your calls. This is your show, you guys, and we are broadcasting worldwide. Thank you so much to EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network. So here go the calls already. You guys have memorized the number. That's the way to do it. 877-757-9424 is the number to call the Spirit World Open Forum for May. And Adam, I'm super excited about our first American Pope coming out of Chicago. I think it's so fascinating and wonderful. I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime. And I know that so many folks from Chicago and the surrounding areas listen to the Spirit World, and I'm sure they are celebrating, and they're going to be celebrating all throughout the whole entire Mother's Day weekend because we have this incredible Pope coming out of America. So what do you say to all that?
Oh, absolutely. I, you know, like everybody else, I didn't see it coming. You know, for various reasons, we've always assumed there wouldn't be a Pope from the United States, at least, you know, in our lifetimes. But they have their good reasons, and here we are. I want to just mention, before we jump into the calls, and they're already stacking up, It was also a really big Saint Michael Day, you know, our patron for the show.
I wanted us to be live that day. Yes.
Yeah, he was elected on the feast day of Saint Michael's apparition at the cave at Gargano, Italy, where those little white stones that a lot of people have seen come from. So yeah, so and of course Leo the 13th, his predecessor in that name, is the one that wrote the Saint Michael prayer. So he had written what we call the minor exorcism, and the St. Michael prayer is actually a small part of that larger minor exorcism that he wrote back in 1890. So there's a lot of connections with St. Michael that went on. So, you know, that was just kind of neat how all those things lined up by Providence.
I so wish, Adam, that we in the spirit world were live, because you know how we promoted and did shows about, you know, St. Michael's apparition of the in the cave at Gargano, Italy, and then the beautiful stones that we were talking about, and so many ordered those stones from our dear friend Bobby, which was just so amazing. And I was thinking the same thing, Adam, when they mentioned about it being such a special day with St. Michael. I was like, wow. Wow, this is so incredible. And then for our Holy Father to take Pope Leo the 14th, right? And we know all about Pope Leo the 13th, you know, so it's you're so spot on, Adam. And I have to tell you this, that Jerry Usher and I were so excited. The announcement of our new Holy Father came right about 10 minutes into take two live, take two with Jerry and Debbie live. And Jerry and I were going to announce it, and then they cut away to EWTN programming. So they got the ability to do that. But we were so excited. That's another historic moment for us on take two. We were, you know, to think we'll always remember that on that we were broadcasting live when we received our new Holy Father. So many things to be excited about. You can hear the excitement in my voice, folks, because, you know, we've got a lot to be hopeful for and to look forward to in this Jubilee year of hope. And so there's so many things to really look ahead and be excited about. And we want you to journey with us. And that's what the spirit world's all about, to go deeper in our faith, to be confident about our spiritual lives, and to get the questions answered that may be, you know, bothering us and we don't know who to go to. We don't know who to ask. Well, this is the show for you. So fill that last open phone line by calling 877-757-9424. Adam?
So I think our, I don't know which one you wanted to take first, Deb, but I think some of the calls look pretty interesting already. And one of them, you know, I think I would feel strongly about that one on line number one. I think that would be a great one to cover.
Okay, so let's have Tim, our senior producer, introduce properly our first caller, who's from your area, Adam, the home of the world's best slice of pizza, correct?
That's right, Slice on Broadway. They won the global best cheese slice of pizza in the world. It was awesome.
Well, maybe our caller knows this. Jason from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on EWTN. You are on with Debbie and Adam.
Hi,
Good
Jason.
Morning. How are you guys? I have to disagree about the pizza. I'm originally from Staten Island, New York, so I still have to proclaim New York has the best pizza.
Well, you guys have the best bread. You have the best bread, so you have the best pizza crust. I'll give you that.
Okay, all right, we'll compromise. My question is, I'm new to Roman Catholicism, and I've watched these movies like The Conjuring with Ed and Lorraine. One, I guess he was a demonologist, and his wife was a psychic medium. But does the Catholic Church support demonologists working with psychic mediums, since Scripture prohibits it?
Right. So this is a good question, Jason. And for those that don't know, Ed and Lorraine Warren, they're both passed on now for a number of years, Ed a while back and Lorraine more recently. They were in a generation, I think really like in the 50s, 60s, I think they started in the late 50s, I'm not sure on that, but a while ago, when very few people were doing much in the area of exorcism. There was a few priests doing it, but the church really wasn't focusing on it in this country. And so so to answer your question specifically, that's the context. No, absolutely not. So the church does not condone or approve of using psychic mediums in cases of any kind, any type of case, whether it's possession or houses, etc. You have to understand, Jason, and I think most people know this, Hollywood is Hollywood. And they take stories of people's lives and work, and they crank it up to 11, and they add extra stuff to make it exciting to sell tickets and hold people's attention. So you can't rely on Hollywood to teach you truths about the spiritual world or, you know, the truth even about people's lives. Because I know they embellished a lot of stuff about Ed and Lorraine in those movies. I haven't seen them all. So you know, they did work with some of those people, and it wouldn't have been approved back then. It wouldn't be approved now because psychics and mediums are strongly forbidden scripturally and by the church. You know, you can look at, so anyway, authoritatively, they've always been forbidden. So I hope that helps, but they were in a generation when there wasn't as much like supervision or official work going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
No, Jason, before you respond, real quickly, we got a little bit of a delay, so we'll all kind of hang in there to make sure we can hear everyone. But Adam, before we let Jason go, since Jason mentioned that he's new to Catholicism, maybe you could suggest, I know you don't like to self-promote, but I think it's necessary, one of your books for Jason, because it sounds like he's interested in some of these areas. So maybe you could suggest that, and let Jason have the final words.
Yep. Sorry, Deb, you were cutting out for me there. I didn't mean to talk over you. So, Jason, I would really advise you to kind of stay away from researching this area, because it's not super helpful to the regular just day-to-day spiritual life and your journey with Catholicism. But if you are going to read anything, you know, make sure you're reading from somebody who actually works in the church in this area. Because there's a lot of people out there that are like self-proclaimed, and they don't actually have any, you know, real official role or experience. So,
yeah, what Deb is referencing,
the first book I wrote is called Hauntings, Possessions, and Exorcisms, and it's kind of a survey book, and it covers all the basics. So I've not read everybody else's books in this area. Honestly, I'm too busy. But you know, that one has been vetted and, you know, looked at by many, many, many people, and it's based on my work in the church. So it's a good survey without any of the scary, gory details.
Okay, Jason, does that help?
Yeah, there was also, I know, I'll definitely check that out, but I also wanted to check out, I think his name was Father Amriel. I know he was like they made a movie all based on his life called The Pope's Exorcist, Father Amriel.
Yeah,
who also wrote a lot of books, which I wanted to take a look at.
Yeah, it's Father Amorth, Amorth. And don't rely on that movie. That movie is so far from his actual life. Please don't rely on that for anything about exorcism or his life.
I
met him and got to learn from him at the conferences over in Rome that they have International Association of Exorcist conferences. They're not open to the public, but he was a very, very sincere and spiritual man, and he did exorcisms professionally 8+ hours a day, every day of the week, basically. So for like 40 or 50 years. But his stuff is really kind of deep and detailed, and might be kind of too much of a deep dive initially.
Okay.
Okay, Jason, you know what? Thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for trusting us with your questions. And I put you in the prayer book, Jason, because we hope and pray that you continue to go deeper in your Catholic walk and really to learn Catholicism, to live out and be a practicing Catholic. It takes a lifetime, Jason, as you know. We're a very rich, deep, vast faith, and I just pray for you that all the many blessings and graces. Okay, Jason? Thank you so much. All right, we're having a little bit of a connection issue, and I just want to make sure we can hear everybody. And Adam, we're gonna take that first break, and when we come back, we'll get to more of your calls. We've got an open phone line just for you at 877-757-9424. That's 877-757-9424. This is your May open forum show for the spirit world. We have almost full phone lines, but there's a couple of lines for you. So if you have something you want to ask about angels, demons, anything in between, now is the time to call in. 877-757-9424. And Adam and I will be right back.
This program is sponsored in part by Saint Candles. Founded by a music executive to comfort a friend diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, the Saint Candle Collection has grown to more than 25 candles. Each modern candle is handmade with a prayer coin inside and dedicated to a patron saint. Saint Raphael for healing, Saint Philomena for children, Saint Anthony of Padua, and many more as well. To see which Saint Candles are available, visit saintcandles.com.
Hi, I'm Debbie Giorgiani, along with Adam Bly, co-host of The Spirit World, every Saturday morning here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Did you know that Adam and I are also on the air every day? That's right. We're daily contributors to Morning Joy, where truth matters, hosted by Keith Downey. Each weekday at 6:15 a.m., we join Keith for a segment called The Next Right Thing. And we talk about taking the next step on the road to holiness. It's a great way to start your day, and I hope you'll get up early to listen. Even if you can't listen live to Morning Joy, you can listen to our Next Right Thing segment anytime you want on YouTube. Just look for the Guadalupe Radio Network and you'll find it. That's youtube.com/GRN online.
Our family had been going through crisis. Little by little, we just found ourselves drifting completely away. I was afraid to go back. I mean, I cried the first time I received the sacraments again. Cried because I was back and because I had allowed God to become a part of me again. It's united our family. There's peace in our home that we didn't have before.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Oh, how I love the Spirit World listeners and followers. Adam, we have full phone lines plus, so when a line becomes open, please jump on it quickly. And we just took our first break. We're only going to take one more break, Adam, and then we just continue with kind of a rapid fire answering calls and questions coming in on all of the social media streams as well. And Adam, please wave to everyone on social media. We're waving again. Adam and I are waving to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, and TikTok. Boy, you guys are going strong with the Spirit World. I love that. And we're going to get back to the calls right away. I just wanted to share with our listeners, Adam and I meant to say this at the very beginning of the show, and we'll say it again at the end of the show. Happy Mother's Day to all moms this weekend. Okay, we put you in the prayer book, all the Spirit World moms and grandmothers and godmothers and all those who have a mother role. You are very much loved and valued by us here at the Spirit World. Okay, Mr. Senior Producer Tim Mott, could you bring up the next caller, please?
Absolutely. We have Scott from Rochester, New York, listening on Station of the Cross. Scott, you are on with Debbie and Adam.
Hey, Scott.
Well, good morning. Hey, good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. It's your brother Knight, Scott, from Rochester, and I'm a third-degree Knight of Columbus, first of all.
Thank you.
Look, we have any nights listening, but no little Adams tonight. But another question. I received a rosary as a gift from somebody. Now, I'm not sure, first of all, if, how do I say this, is the rosary blessed or is it not blessed? I don't know how stuff like that works. And who blesses rosaries? Is it a priest? Is
yeah.
it a deacon? Is it a bishop?
Okay. So, yeah, good question, Scott. It would not be blessed when it was sold to you because it is against church law to sell anything that's blessed, okay? And who can bless it? Any of the three that you mentioned. Any clergy can bless it. Deacons have the power to bless things. Priests do, and of course, bishops do. So, yeah, you can get it blessed. It's an informal blessing. Usually a priest will just, you know, in their own words, say something like, you know, I bless this rose in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make the sign of the cross over it, something like that. That's totally fine. But don't worry that, like, you're doing something deficient, you know, until you get it blessed. And there's many people that don't get them blessed, too. Just as long as you're using them in prayer is really the most important thing. But yeah, just next time, like after Mass, just ask your priest.
And I just want to make one exception. Scott, one exception to that. If you, I know, noticed that you're listening on the Station of the Cross, and if you had donated to a pledge drive or something of that nature, and you received a blessed item, that has already been blessed by a priest. But I'm of the opinion, Adam, to if you feel if you might want to make sure, have it blessed again, just like Adam said. But sometimes with a donation of something of that nature, it's not being sold in any way, shape, or form. It's a beautiful gift back to you. Some of those things may be blessed, and usually they will come with a little statement or a little printed out like little note card that says this item has been blessed. Does that help, Scott? And you had another comment.
Yes, and I just want to say, first of all, I am a big fan of yours, Missions or Gems, whatever you want me to call you, because I listen to the Spirit World. I listen to a lot of the programs on the Stations of the Cross. But I also want to throw a challenge out to the Knights of Columbus that we need more guys, especially in Council 15118, my council that I belong to. We need more guys. So, guys, if you're Catholic and you're looking for something good to do for volunteerism, please think of the Knights of Columbus.
Absolutely. My husband is a fourth degree knight. Jerry Usher is a fourth degree knight. I'm not sure, Adam, are you involved with the Knights yet?
No, I'm not. I've been too busy working for the bishop the last 10 years.
Okay, well, we'll give you that one because you're very busy in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. But I totally agree. My dad was a knight, Scott. We need to promote the Knights of Columbus even more than we do, and the women can step up because, you know, usually we have somebody in our life, a husband, a brother, and you can encourage them to go into the Knights. Scott, we so agree. Thank you for being a Knight of Columbus. Thank you for liking. I see your beautiful comments about Take Two, that you're a fan of Take Twos. And Scott, we love you. Have a beautiful weekend. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Tim, where are we going next?
We're going to San Antonio, Texas with Javier, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Javier, you are on with Debbie and Adam.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Go right ahead.
Great. I was hoping if you could review a situation that occurred last week. I was at a wake for my aunt who passed away. During that wake, a different aunt, a family member invited me to lead the rosary, and I did so. Mm-hmm. Then after it was completed, I realized that I had some unconfessed sin. And so I was curious, does my spiritual state have any effect on the efficacy of prayer, whether positive or negative? Should I be worried about that for myself or other people?
Yeah, Javier, that's an interesting question. I want to hear what Deb has to say, but you can still pray when you're in a state of mortal sin or venial sin, and or basically in venial sin almost all the time. You know, given a few hours, we typically slip into that even just with our thoughts. You can still pray. There's still efficacy of prayer. God is waiting for your prayer and your repentance and looking forward to that and hoping that happens. You're not going to negatively impact other people by leading the rosary. Their prayer is between them and God. Yes, you know, there's a beauty to praying communally with a group, but you're not going to in some way diminish or affect their prayer. Because that's between that soul and God. So I would say basically be at peace. What do you think, Deb?
I completely agree. Javier, I think you did a beautiful thing by leading the rosary. And the fact that you felt that little kind of, you know, feeling in your conscience about that there was unconfessed sins, that's a perfect time to then make your next visit for confession, right? And remember, God stands outside of time. He knows that what we have to work in within our, the time constraints that we have. So by you having that feeling, you know, you're remorseful, and then you go to confession. I agree with Adam. Be at peace. That's a good thing. It's what always makes me nervous is when people do not feel their unconfessed sins, when they do not feel things. That makes me nervous. That means they're desensitized, they're removed, they maybe made too many excuses for their behavior. And so what you're doing, it shows your heart is in the right vein. What do you say, Javier?
That's very helpful. Thank you to both of you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Oh, God bless you. Yes. Thank you so much for calling in. Okay. And Javier is going to free that phone line for you at 877-757-9424. You can ask questions about angels, demons, anything in between. You can talk about our first American Pope, Pope Leo XIV. I just love it. I loved his homily when he spoke English, coming right out of the homily to start the homily and speaking in English. It felt so unique. I mean, so it's amazing. And it's lots to celebrate, folks, and we want to celebrate together on this. This is really one of the first live shows since all of the coverage of receiving our new Pope. So, and the world is watching and listening to us. And so that's very important as well. We can have this opportunity to evangelize. Okay, Senior Producer Tim, can you please introduce the next caller?
Yes, we actually had a caller who couldn't hang on the line, Heather from, I believe that was South Carolina, listening on Catholic Radio in South Carolina. She's actually Anglican, and she wanted to say that she was praying for a holy pope for the Catholic Church, and she feels that her prayers have been answered. But now we can go to Seattle, Washington, with Christopher listening on our Facebook channel. Facebook is the Spirit World podcast. Christopher, you are on from Seattle with Debbie and Adam.
Hi, you guys.
Hi, Christopher.
I am so happy about this new pope. I cannot even tell you. It's like amazing. This is like absolutely amazing. I broke out in tears when he first came out. I just couldn't even believe what was happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We agree. We agree, Christopher. I did the same thing. My husband and I were standing in front of our TV set because we were waiting for the big blessing, because they said it goes, you know, right through to the TV, whoever's watching live. And yeah, we were standing there. And when I saw him come out on the balcony, I went, are you kidding me? An American Pope? I couldn't believe it. I was like, I thought I was in a dream. So it's really cool. And it's time for us to celebrate and pray for this Pope and to really be excited about the future. But go ahead, Christopher, and share what you have to say, because I know you want to talk about guardian angels.
Yeah. How do we find out what our guardian angel's name is? I went through a death experience, and that was pretty intense. And someone was at my left through that experience, and I never saw, but they were with me the whole time. Anyway, I'm just wondering, how do we find out what their name is, or how do I find out what my guardian angel's name is?
Yeah, okay, so Christopher, and of course I want to hear Deb's take on this, because she has studied angels for so long, but basically, kind of the short answer is, don't worry about that, because we are not supposed to kind of pursue that kind of level of information, certainly not through divination. And I know you're not thinking that, but I have to say it for people that are wondering. You wouldn't do any kind of like tarot cards or pendulums or lots or you know, you don't want to try to divine the name of an angel. That's just going to lead to problems. Most people do not get a name from their guardian angel. If somebody is experiencing a guardian angel, and I know this is obvious, but you've got to rule out, you know, something with the brain or an infection or some mental illness. If you're hearing voices, you have to rule that out and be reasonable, because that's quite common compared to people hearing from their angels, though it does happen. Padre Pio talked with his guardian angel his whole life. And I've met people that have talked with their guardian angels their whole lives. But interestingly, Christopher, you know, the people that have talked with their guardian angel forever since they were children, I've never heard them say they knew their name. They were just there and they were comforting and they provided encouragement. But it wasn't, a name wasn't involved. So it could happen, but I basically wouldn't worry about it. What do you think, Deb?
Okay, so Christopher, the directory on popular piety discourages us asking for the name of our guardian angel. Couple reasons, yeah. And this is based on the study of I've studied angels for many, many years, and yeah. Adam is correct. We don't own the angels. They have been given names by God himself already, and usually the names are very difficult for us to even comprehend or understand, because it's of that higher nature of names. Now, we do have the names in Scripture of Michael and Gabriel and Raphael. Okay, we know that. But Christopher, if you go by Padre Pio, he used to address his guardian angel as holy angel, my holy angel. That's really where we want to leave it, because A, they have a name already given by God. B, if they give you a name, it's implying that you kind of have, you're over them. We're not over the angels. They're actually over us right now. Okay, so we're not over them. So by having a name, it's kind of like you kind of own them. That's not true. The other thing too is, and I've heard this recently, Adam and I are putting together a book on the most asked questions about angels and demons. It'll be coming out this summer. And I will tell you that this is the number one question that is asked. Because I know that during the 60s, 70s, and 80s, a lot of Catholic schools used to encourage people to pray for a name. I'm not saying that that's completely wrong. I'm saying it's not completely correct, because, and then here's the other added component. Sometimes people will get a name of their dead relative and they'll start calling their angel their dead relative. I personally believe that's the demons trying to get you to connect with dead relatives instead of your guardian angel. So you got a problem right there. So I would address your guardian angel the same way I address mine, same way Adam does, your holy angel. Does that help, Christopher?
Absolutely. I mean, I just was wondering, I haven't been like digging into this, you know, like
right.
constantly or anything. I was just curious about the names, but that really, really helps me. Your expertise in all of the angels, I really wish that you would talk more about this in a program or something, because you're so good at it. And I don't think there's enough time that you are able to do that.
Thank you. Okay. But, yes. Well, definitely we'll do it. We'll dedicate Christopher. Tim is making a note right now, and thanks to you, we'll dedicate a whole show on guardian angels. Okay.
Yes, that would be great. That would be great.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you, Christopher. Okay, Adam, there's our second and final break, and we do have full phone lines plus, thanks to all the folks waiting to get on air with us, like Lisa and Dina and Vicky and Anthony and Ken. Hold on. This is where Adam and I go really fast, and we'll get to all, hopefully we'll get to all of your calls when we come back. You can always like us on Facebook at the Spirit World Podcast. We like to grow the family there, and Adam and I will be posting some articles there as well, so that could help you. Thanks again to all the social media groups, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, TikTok. You guys are awesome. We love you. And Adam and I will be right back.
The month of May is dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Hail Lady, Holy Queen, Holy Mary, Mother of God, who are the Virgin-made Church and the one chosen by the Most Holy Father of Heaven, whom He consecrated with His Most Holy Beloved Son and with the Holy Spirit the Paraclete, in whom there was and is all fullness of grace and every good. Hail His palace. Hail His tabernacle. Hail His home. Hail His vestment. Hail His handmaid. Hail His mother. and hail all you holy virtues, which through the grace and illumination of the Holy Spirit are infused into the hearts of the faithful, so that from being unbelievers, you may make them faithful to God. Amen.
What's life coaching? Life coaching has been around for many years, helping people with their relationships, careers, health, and finances. With Stand Tall, it's all Christ-centered. We focus on mind, body, and spirit, taking life coaching to a whole new level. At StandTallToday.com, you can meet one of our experienced life coaches. Today is the day the Lord has made. So begin today with a new path for your life at StandTallToday.com.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, so looking ahead to next week's show for the Spirit World next Saturday, we are going to be talking about how the demons use anger and alcohol to divide. Ooh, that's going to be a really, really, I think, informative, impactful show. So make sure you tell your friends. And by the way, can you take the challenge up and invite one friend to listen to the Spirit World? We really would appreciate it because, we like to grow the family. Okay, Adam, this is where we're going to have to pick up the pace, and we're going to try to get to all of the calls who are waiting. And Tim, please. The next caller.
Well, you know, as you get to calls, new calls come in. So we probably won't be able to get to everybody on the show.
But that's very true.
Right now, we can go to Ken in Marcellus, Michigan, listening on Holy Family Radio. Ken, you are on with Debbie and Adam.
Okay. How do you keep maybe like demonic entities from coming into your house or anything like that? That's kind of what I think I have a problem, family problem with.
Okay, Ken. So I can address that in general, the specifics of what's going on with your house and or your family. You need to contact your parish priest or your diocese central office, often called a pastoral center, and see who specializes in this out in the diocese that you live in Michigan. But in general, we want to avoid, you know, engaging in black magic, divination, witchcraft, bringing those objects associated with those practices into the house. So just by bringing them in, sometimes if they've been used in rituals, that can lead to a problem. We want to avoid, you know, kind of deep mortal sin, like a, you know, almost like an addicted relationship with mortal sin that isn't being resisted. That can also wound a place when that goes on for a long time. And the other thing is, you know, whenever you move into a new house, have it blessed, you know, before you even start moving in, if possible, or right after you get there, have it blessed thoroughly and put up some holy images, you know, something in every room to keep your home as positive as possible.
Well, okay.
Does that help, Ken? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. This was something that, like I said, had been, I think I told you, it was kind of like in the past, but it's like it just kind of made me more, I don't know, a little more paranoid about it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Adam, yeah. What about the holy water? Mm. What about the holy water that you recommend for at nighttime and stuff? I've been doing that practice now since we started the Spirit World, and boy, oh boy, has it really calmed down like any fears I might have or anxiety about any, you know, any evil spirits.
Yeah, sacramentals are always good to use. So if you get some holy water, you know, this is specifically for people that are having like repetitive nightmares that could be coming from a spiritual source, not just from your mind. Is you take a little holy water, put it in your palm, just moisten your two hands, rub them together, close your eyes, pat down your whole head, pat down your face, and do that right before laying down to go to sleep. And if those dreams are coming from a demonic source, in general, at least after 20 years, every single time, they will stop for that night. You'll have to do that each night if it's that's going on, and then get the bigger problem addressed, of course. Don't just do that and live with it. You know, and how that's addressed is specific to your case. And yeah, things will linger until they are forced to leave. So if there was a problem in the past, generally those things will linger around and it'll resurface later. It has to be authoritatively told to get out.
Does that help for now, Ken?
Well, I found it got better. I got a book of prayers from, I think, Father Chad Ripinger. One of them was like renouncing family. It was like a family curse or something. I'm not sure how it was phrased, but it seemed to make things. I haven't had any problems since then, but I know my brother has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, Ken, yeah, he would have to work with somebody there local to him to figure out what's going on.
Okay. Like I said, I just kind of made me a little more aware mm-hmm. of it and not mm-hmm. wanting to do it again, because I seem to remember it being very much, it affects your mind, too. You kind of like, there's like a sort of madness when you get in touch with these things. At least that was my experience.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right.
Okay,
that's my advice on that one.
Okay. And I think we covered it for now, but continue to listen to the spirit world. And if you have any more questions, feel free to call in for next month's open forum as well, Ken. Okay. We're going to move to our next caller, Tim.
Okay. We've got Dina in Fairfield County, Connecticut, listening on the EWTN app. Dina, you are on with Debbie and Adam.
Thank you.
Hello,
for taking
Dina.
My call.
You take it away. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Debbie. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Dina.
Hi. I was in the food mart, and I ran into a friend of mine who I know since 1978. And he's sitting down, and I'm standing up across from him, and my face is totally level with his. And the first thing I notice, that instead of looking at his blue eyes, I see these two huge round eyes looking out at me, kind of frozen, and the center is russet with a little bit of like a dull orange in it. Then as I'm talking to him, I started to notice like a brackish shadow near his head. And then for a couple of seconds, the film, the same brackish film, covered his face, and I couldn't see his features anymore. And as he gets up to leave, I ask him a question, and all of a sudden, thick, 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 dense black comes out of his mouth and splays out down to his ankles.
Okay, so Dina, this, you said this was out in public. I guess two questions real quick, just briefly. Have you ever had an experience like this before? And did anybody else see this go on with him when this happened?
I was alone, and I have never seen anything like that.
Okay. Well, basically, Dina, I would just pray for him, not over him. Don't meet with him and start praying.
I would leave
that to a priest. You know, if you want to encourage him, you could encourage him to talk with his priest if he's feeling troubled. You could phrase it, you know, in a gentle way like that, and just intercessory pray for him, like pray the rosary for him.
Okay.
It's possible that that was a real demonic manifestation. It's possible.
Uh-huh.
There have been cases where smoke has come out of people's mouths. Now, that's usually during exorcisms, not just when they're out about in the world. That could have been done just to scare you.
It wasn't smoke. It was thick, thick, thick black, solid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it could be, you know, when the demons appear in their raw form, meaning like they're not pretending to be a person or a ghost, it generally looks like a solid black rolling smoke that doesn't dissipate or thin out. And you can't see through it. I actually have photos that were taken of one many years ago where it passed in front of a lamp, where there's a bright bulb of a lamp, actually, and it's, you know, you can't see through it at all. So, yeah, basically, try not to let this rattle you. Move on with your own spiritual life. Try not to let it rattle you. Pray for him, you know, not over him. Don't give any commands. And if he wants help, encourage him to see his priest.
Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you, Dina, for calling in. God bless you. And have a very happy Mother's Day weekend. Okay, we're going to go to our next caller, senior producer.
Lisa in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Lisa, you're on with Debbie and Adam.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Lisa. You go right ahead.
Yes, I just had a question about, I've heard you all talk and about demons and spirits. So I'm just curious. I've been reading some books, Padre Pio. I want to know, I've heard Adam say this too, that God gives the demons certain, I guess they're like on a leash, I picture. You know, he lets them do so much, you know. And so when I was reading some certain books with Padre Pio and other things that I've read, I noticed that they harass the saints. They bother the saints. They can pull them out of bed. They'll bang on the doors. They'll do things to upset them. Have they ever hurt any saints? In one of the books that I read with Father Pio, he wasn't afraid of the demon or demons. He was annoyed by them, you know? And so my question is, do the demons, can they go so far? Could they hurt us? Have they ever hurt a saint that you know of? Can they hurt us like that as well, like drag us out of bed or things like that? That's what I was curious about.
So, Lisa, that is okay, a great Lisa. Question. Yes, that's a great question. I'm going to let Adam address it to everyone, because actually that's been asked many times before, and I'm so grateful to you, Lisa, that you asked it. It sounds like you're driving, so safe driving, and we'll turn our attention to Adam's response.
So, first off, Lisa, you know, it's there have been saints that have been, you know, roughed up a little bit. Remember, saints like Padre Pio were at an extreme point of development in their spiritual life. The classic struggle in the Christian spiritual life is to defeat the body, to defeat the world, and then defeat the devil. And that means overcome the passions of the body that basically want us to just be distracted and pursue food and pleasure and, you know, selfishness forever in an animalistic way. First thing is to overcome that. Then you need to overcome the temptation of the world, which is to pursue the approval of others and money and worldly things that will fade away and disappear with time. And then after those are defeated, the third one is facing the demons directly. And that's why in the ancient church, people would go to the desert towards the end of their spiritual journey, because they were going out to confront the devil, not veiled in different ways, but directly. And of course, we see Jesus going out and, you know, the 40 days, he's fasting for 40 days, and then he's tempted by the devil personally, face to face. So Padre Pio was at an advanced stage in his spiritual journey where God allowed him to confront the demonic directly and allowed him to be tested. That was ultimately for his benefit. Not that it's a good thing to get beat up, but ultimately it teaches you to trust Jesus even more deeply. And I say that, I'm not a saint, but I say that as a person who gets beat up by demons every Friday, because I'm the person physically gently restraining them from hurting them, the person hurting themselves or hurting the priest. And, you know, they go after us. They try to gouge me with nails. They try to bite. They try to stomp on my foot and break it. They, you know, sometimes you'll end up on the floor with them tackling you. So, but here's the thing. They've never actually hurt me. Like, I've come out with some scrapes and bruises. I've never been hurt in all these years. I've never had a bone broken. And they've had an opportunity where they could have, because if God allowed them, their strength would overwhelm us. But he doesn't allow them to do that. And what has it taught me? Not to be afraid of them, like, oh, I might get beat up this Friday, but it's taught me to trust in Jesus and taught me how sovereign God is over all of creation. So I honestly do not fear them at all. They know that very well. It's not like a bravado thing. It's just, I trust God and I know God is real. Mm-hmm. So for the average Christian, no, that's not going to happen. So basically don't worry about it. This is not the kind of thing to spend your energy worrying about. Just focus on loving Jesus, trusting Jesus, developing your spiritual life with God. Don't let the activity of the demons, which God does allow, but don't let that become the center of your spiritual life.
Beautiful answer, Adam. I would say that's a perfect answer. Lisa, we could kind of hear you on a hands-free device, so it sounds like you're driving, safe traveling, and we're going to leave it there. Thank you for asking that question. It helped all of us today. We're going to go to Joe in Ramona, California on EWTN.com. Joe, welcome to the program.
Oh, good, good. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for having your show.
So, thank you. So go right ahead.
Yeah, my question is for your guest. What other prayers are helpful when you feel you have an unclean spirit maybe in your home? Besides the Our Father and the Hail Mary,
right? Right. So we're gonna let Adam address that. And just so you know, Joe, he is not only a wonderful guest, but he's a permanent guest. He's the host of this show with me. So we're co-hosts. So Adam Bly will happily answer the question. And Joe, I want you to remember this, that every month we have an open forum. So be asking these questions every month because this helps all of us. Go ahead, Adam.
Okay, Joe. So kind of related to what we talked about with the last caller, we need to remember that the demonic, the unclean spirits, are allowed to tempt us throughout life. So in that sense, it's kind of like learning about bacteria that's on every surface that you interact with, and it's on doorknobs and the chairs that you sit in, and as you go through the world, it's just kind of everywhere. And it's an invisible thing, and it can affect us. Demons are the same way. So in that sense, they're already around. We don't, you know, need to worry about it. What we are concerned with houses is what's called extraordinary activity beyond temptation. That's when, like, you see black shadows you can't explain and religious things are maybe thrown off the wall and you can't debunk it. You know, people wake up with scratches on them sometimes they can't explain, other things, and it can get much worse. So if you have extraordinary activity beyond temptation going on, meaning unusual things are happening in your home, talk with your priest. The first step that we always do here is a thorough house blessing and increase the prayer life of the family. And then if it continues or gets worse, then we will ask our bishop for permission to do a house exorcism, which is not a huge deal. But if a bishop gives permission for that, then it's kind of an authoritative command to leave. And that's something you need to work with your priest and your diocese on.
Good, thank you. You know, I have spoken with my local priest, which, you know, I just saw him yesterday. Sometimes I kind of feel like they don't want to really engage too much in spiritual warfare. It just seems, I mean, they answer the questions, but they seem to not really engage in, you know, the information that we kind of need. Why is that? What do you think that?
Right.
What causes that?
Well, Joe, and we don't have time to unpack all of that, but kind of the bottom line is there's not a lot of training in seminary on these topics. And just like it scares a lot of people, there are priests that they're not well educated on it, and so it scares them too a little bit. You know, it can be a little bit spooky. But usually it's more that they haven't been trained much in seminary on these topics. So, that's why I advise people to contact their diocese central office. Not that you're going over your priest's head. You can ask your priest to do it for you if you want. But ask if there's any priests in the diocese that have kind of specialized in this. Maybe there is an exorcist in the diocese. Now, don't expect that the exorcist is going to take every phone call and come to every house that has an issue. But there might be priests that work with the exorcists that are well-versed in this. You want to reach out because your priest may not be the specialist in your diocese.
Okay, Joe, thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. You were our final caller today. That's a really cool position to be in, because at least we got your call in, and we're going to have to say we're very sorry to Vicky and Anthony and the others calling in. We're so sorry, but our wonderful call screeners, Carol and Anna, they'll pick up the phone and we will address your questions or put them into a future mailbag edition of The Spirit World. Adam, I would say this open forum was a huge success. It was so amazing. I love having an open forum during May, Adam, because it's the month of Mary and she's our spiritual mother. So don't forget the Blessed Mother this month, especially this weekend during Mother's Day. To all the mothers out there, a happy Mother's Day. So that'll do it, you guys, for this particular episode. You can always like us on Facebook and hear more of the conversation going on there at the Spirit World Podcast. I want to thank the show team, our wonderful show team, Tim, Carol, and Anna today. You did such a great job. Thank you to Guadalupe Radio Network for producing the program, EWTN for airing it all over the world. That'll do it. For Adam Bly, I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.